Blog Talk Radio.
How to date and stay saved.
Edition of the How to Date and Stay Saved show. I'm Kim Brooks, the host with the book with the same title, and I'm excited because I am going to share a word tonight, a ministry word of encouragement for the singles listening. And this is actually continuing on the series that God put on my heart this week. It was all about loving yourself. It was love God, love yourself. Love your future. Love God. Love yourself. Love your future. And with it being Valentine's Day Eve, if you will, I'm sure that you all have been out and about. You know, you see every store, it seems like, grocery stores. Like I'm in the city, so we got street corners. Street corners with the balloons and the baskets and all kinds of different stores advertising Valentine's Day. And sometimes as a single, you could walk around and see all the teddy bears and the chocolate hearts the heart-shaped boxes and flowers and all kind of stuff. And you could just feel down, you know, if you don't have a significant other to share the day with. So what I'm led to do today is to encourage you and just know that Valentine's Day, society has used it to celebrate another person, you know, but you can use this time to celebrate love in the sense of being loved. Like the theme of this week, love God. And that's what we want to do. We want to love God. Like the scripture says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength. That's how we want to love God. And I'm going to talk about today some ways we can love God, some ways we can love and embrace ourselves and the person that God made us to be, and some ways that we can love our future, the future that God has for us, because that's what our hope is in. You know, as a single, a lot of times we settle in relationships that were not ordained by God in the first time because we get so stuck on the now. We're looking at, where's my boo now? I want to make now. I need a man on my arm now. I want some chocolates now. It's Valentine's Day now, so where is my boo? So then the next person that comes up to us or asks for our phone number or the next person we meet, we think, okay, this must be it, or we just ask God to bless something that he never even intended for us to be with in the first place. I mean, it may be someone that does not look like God, sound like God, or even smell like God. And when I say that, I'm talking about the essence of him. You want whoever you're with to have that God-like character, God-like quality. Not saying he has to be perfect. You just want someone that God can use perfectly and that is willing and open to be used by God and who loves God and not just loves God, but who also fears God. You know, that's the main thing, because a lot of people out here claiming, oh, I love God, I believe in God, but the Bible says even the devil believes, you know. So you don't want someone who just believes in God. You want someone who loves God and fears God and who believes Jesus is Lord. How about that? Because even today you got so many people running around talking about God this and God that. But if Jesus is not an equation as the Savior, then, and if you profess Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then you're not on the same page. So the goal is you want to be with someone who's on the same page with you And if there's no one out there that you know of right now, or that you're not dating, no prospects, know that it's okay. And know that that does not mean you will never meet them. I get so many emails from women who are so fearful of their futures. And we're going to talk about that, especially when I get to the whole part about loving your future, because when you think about the anxieties you have as a single, they all point to your losing faith in your future. You know, I get emails like, I'm getting to be a certain age, you know. I wanted to be married by this age. I wanted to have kids. Well, I don't think I'm going to have kids because I'm reaching this age. And then there'll be some emails talking about, I'm in my 20s. I'm in my late 20s, and I'm afraid I might not have kids if I don't get married by this age. And I'm thinking to myself, the devil is a liar. I mean, people are having babies into their 40s. If that were not the case, then you wouldn't have 40 and 50-year-old women wearing condoms that are having sex, you know. Your uterus never gets old, you know. So it's just the enemy that puts that fear in us, because we're getting the reason we get that fear in us is because we become focused on the now, the present, and we don't focus on our future. And we all know that faith is belief in the unseen, and we have to have faith that God is not a man that he should lie, nor is he a man that he should repent. And you know what? I actually, for those that are listening and are believing God for a mate, I received an email yesterday from a young lady, and it was a testimony. And I've gotten other emails like this. I'm thinking about starting to put a count on my website of the number of women who received my daily devotionals and who let me know that now they're getting married. And so the young lady yesterday, she said, thank you, Kim, for your daily devotionals, and now I met my man of God, and we were getting married. So I thank God, because I feel that the ministry God has given me with the mainly is online, you know, with the daily devotionals, but I also minister at other churches when people have me speak at singles conferences, women's conferences, and then also with the different books and things that God uses me to write. I consider it all ministry, you know, whether it's a novel that's going to make you laugh and yell at the characters, or whether it's like a self-help book, like How to Date, Stay Saved. No matter what it is that God puts on my heart to do, I count it all ministry. So this young lady, she emailed me, and she basically said, you know, her testimony that she was getting married, and she thanked God for my ministry. And I just believe that my ministry is mainly to women who are believing God for a mate. I mean, I know there are some people who, you know, they feel like, well, I'm okay, I don't need a man, you know. I know they're out there, but the majority of the emails I get and the majority of what God puts on my heart to share is for women who are, they have a saying, ladies in waiting. You know, I personally don't like that saying. It just sounds so matronly. It just sounds so homely, ladies in waiting, like you just somewhere rocking in a rocking chair just waiting for to be swept off your feet and carried away, you know, for your husband. I like to say ladies in expectation. You know, you're expecting something, so you're not just waiting, idly waiting. No, you're expecting, or ladies in preparation. How about that? You know, this is the time to prepare, not just for the meat that God has for you. I always tell the ladies, you know, if you're believing God for a husband, know that once you get married, that person, that husband, will become your closest neighbor. You know how the scripture says you should love your neighbor as yourself? Well, your closest neighbor when you're married is your husband. And, you know, your husband, he may not know how to cook, you know. So now will be a great time to learn how to cook so you can feed him something. That'll be some preparation. But not even just that, not even just the surface stuff like feeding the man and all that, but just preparing yourself spiritually to become that Proverbs 31 woman, that virtuous woman, that prudent woman. The Bible talks about a prudent wife is from the Lord. So I encourage you to look that up and see what that means and see what she looks like and become her now before you get married, because the scripture says in Proverbs 18:22, it says, he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord. So it doesn't say he that findeth a girlfriend, or he that findeth a side chick, or he that findeth a time filler. You know, it says he that findeth a wife. So the man of God that God has for you is looking for a wife. He's looking for wife qualities. He's looking for someone who is mature enough spiritually to know that he is God's son as much as you are God's daughter, and to treat each other accordingly. So that's why it's so important, even now, you know, ladies in expectation, ladies in preparation, ladies in purging. You know, this could be a season where you are in need of some healing. I mean, oh, my goodness. A lot of us listening, if you're over 25 or if you're over 30 or over 40 or over 50, you have had some relationships. You have had some drama. You have had some craziness. You have been hurt. You have been disappointed. Oh, my goodness. So if you're listening, this could be the very season right now that you will want to allow God to heal you and to purge you from disappointment. You know, disappointment can become a disease if it's not dealt with. Disappointment can become a disease if it's not dealt with. The way that we deal with disappointment is we, number one, ask God to forgive the person who hurt us. We ask God to forgive the person who hurt us. We release them over to God, meaning we give away all responsibility for that person. And then we have to receive the healing. You know, the scripture talks about how God heals the brokenhearted. So we have to receive the healing from above and receive it inside. Now, how do you do that? When you pray, when you praise God, when you read the word of God, when you seek God. The scripture says in Jeremiah 29, it talks about you shall seek me, you shall find me, when you shall search for me with your whole heart. So you pour your whole heart into it, you know. You pour your whole heart into it, and you, like, allow God to heal you. And you forgive the person who hurt you. And then you open your heart up to love again. Because if you have a closed heart and if you're guarded, it makes it harder for the next man to even get inside. Now, I talk about guarding your heart. I mean, the scripture even says it's important to guard your heart. Because me personally, I'm the kind of person I leave. Relationships sometimes, and when you do that, it's easy to get hurt. So the Lord had to deal with me about not being led by my heart, but being led by the Spirit, and to follow peace in relationships, making sure that I am in a position where I get to know the person I'm dating and get to know him for who he is and not for who in my mind I conjured him up to be. Because a lot of times we think, okay, well, he goes to my church, he sings in the choir, he serves in the usher, he does all this stuff. So we're adding extra credibility on top of layers of credibility on top of the person because of their works, because of what we see that they do externally, without really knowing the person on the inside, without really knowing his drive and motivation. If his drive and motivation to do all the stuff that he does, if it's not to please the Lord and to show an outward demonstration of his faith in God and wanting to please God, I mean, some people do things just to be seen or to appear spiritual. Some people, especially, you know, wolves in sheep's clothing, they know where the sheep are, so they want to get in the midst so they can, you know, attack eventually at the right time. So real subtle, too. You know, it's not always obvious. You know, he knows how to dress. He knows what to say. He knows how to carry his Bible around and speak the word
at the right time and say hallelujah, amen, right along with the pastor. But on the inside, he's like a ravenous wolf ready to just snap. So you really, really, really have to get to know the person on the inside first instead of falling in love of the idea of being in love or the ideal mate that you're trying to make him into that he is so far from. And then another thing is it's so important to pray not just about the relationship but through the entire relationship being led by peace. The peace of God that passes all understanding and not led by our heart. Because even the scripture talks about how the heart is deceitful, you know. It's better to be led by the spirit because the spirit is a more accurate account of what's the truth. You know, love is pure love. You want true love. You don't want somebody that's putting on an act just because they see something they want. You know, you want that sincere love. So back to love, we talk about loving God. And that draws it back to him because there's no way that we can love any man or woman, for the men listening, we cannot love any person until we love God properly. Ooh. And when I say properly, there's a saying, love should be vertical first before it can ever successfully be horizontal. So if we don't love God the way he deserves to be loved, that reminds me of, I sent out a daily devotional the other week, and it talked about how God just, he has requirements for how he wants to be loved. You know, that reminds me of my favorite book in the world, The Five Love Languages, and the whole premise behind that book is basically saying whoever you're dating or your significant other, you know, find out their love language because their love language communicates love to them. So find out what that is, and you do that for them, and in you doing that, that's you showing them that you love them enough to give them the love that they want based on how they want to receive it. Because so many times with love, we put the way we want to receive it on other people. You know, some of the love languages are like spending quality time or words of affirmation. So let's say, for example, a person, their love language is words of affirmation that they want to hear encouraging words all the time. Yes, they go to their significant other and they're telling them encouraging words like, oh, you are just the best, you're the bomb, I love you, you're great. And then, but the other person, their love language might be quality time. So if you just not spending time with the person and then sending text messages and phone calls just as you go about your day and not spending time, that other person is not going to feel loved just because you sent them a text message saying, oh, you're awesome. They're not going to receive that as love because their love language is time. So until you give that person the love that they want to receive, how they want to receive it, they're not going to feel loved. So in the same manner, the God we serve, the God that created Adam and Eve for the purpose of fellowship, you know, it talks about in Genesis when God created Adam, he said, you know, Adam was walking about and, God was with them, and they were speaking to each other. And God talks about, you know, Genesis 1:26, let us make man in our image and our likeness. Let them have dominion. I mean, God loved man so much, he gave man dominion. And he just wanted to spend that time with mankind. But because we missed it, you know, we let that old serpent, the devil, come up in the garden, and then he spoke to the woman. And she then spoke to Adam, and they both ate the forbidden fruit. And from there on, God is like, oh, man, I've given you almost everything you could ever ask for, and this is the thanks that you give back to me. And so a lot of people don't realize they look at God as a judge in the sky, and they don't see him as the loving father that he really is. He's a spirit, yes, but at the same time, he has feelings. Because even the scripture talks about in Genesis, you know, when he wiped out the face of the earth with Noah, you know, when Noah, they had to spare some of the humans and the animals, and then the face of the earth got wiped out, and then he brought the rainbow as a covenant saying, I will never do this again. The scripture talks about, it says God repented. And they, in other words, God was sad. He was sorry at what he had done. And people miss that part. So in the same manner, when we talk about our relationship, when we talk about our relationship with God and loving God, basically, I said all that to say, we want to love God the way he wants to be loved. And the way he wants to be loved is found in his word. And the scripture talks about in John, it says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And as singles, one of our biggest struggles is in the area of the flesh, you know, promiscuity, sex. But that's not the only sin. A lot of times we get caught up thinking that's it. That's not the only sin. You know, God hates a proud look. God hates lies. You know, as singles, we want to become as close to like God as possible, because that's our way of showing God that we love him. You know, a lot of times we may be in relationships and we may have experienced being cheated on. And, I mean, if you think back to when you were cheated on, oh, my, mad, upset, you know, hurt, disappointed, you know, betrayed, all those feelings. But then at the end of the day, whether or not you took them back or not, he still cheated. But how many know, as singles and as single Christians, when we step outside of the will of God and we have sex outside of marriage, when God blatantly tells us not to do it, it says flee fornication in 1 Corinthians 6:20, it tells us all throughout the Bible to abstain, because it's not that we don't know. We know God's will. You know, we say things like, Lord, forgive me now for what's about to go down tonight. So I'm asking for your forgiveness in advance. But when we do that, it's kind of like we put the blood of Jesus to shame. You know, I mean, Jesus died for our sins, not so we can keep sinning, so that we can go to God, you know, and receive the grace if we miss it, but not to give us a right to miss it every time. You know, even the scriptures say in Romans, it says, shall we continue in sin so grace may abound? No. So when we have sex outside of marriage, it's like we're cheating on God, because God wants us to be faithful to him. So while we're single, we're faithful to God, and in doing so, that's our showing God that we love God. And if you miss it, and if you are in a situation where you continue to miss it, thank God for his grace. However, God gives us the power to be kept, because even Jude 24 talks about unto him who is able to keep you from falling. So the keeping power is in him. It has to first start with a committed mind, change the mindset, saying this is, I can do this. I can be abstinent no matter my past. I can be abstinent. And then once your words and your thoughts agree with God's will, then you can activate the power on the inside of you in order to carry it out. And knowing that it's not you carrying it out, it's God in you helping you to do it. And not only that, he gives us resources to do it. He gives us his word, number one. And I would encourage you to read Romans chapter 6 and Romans chapter 7 and Romans chapter 8, because it really breaks it down. Paul breaks it down about the flesh. And those are some scriptures that the Lord gave me when I used to miss it over and over again. I used to make out with guys and think it was okay, and then closer I got to the Lord, the more God started to tell me, no, this is not my will for you. I have something better for you. So I would encourage you, Romans 6, 7, and 8, to read those, even on tomorrow. I mean, we so caught up in wanting a boo. What about taking care of the boo we already have? His name is Jesus. Make a date with the Lord tomorrow. Get the candles out, you know, get the nice classical music or the worship music or however you want to do it. You know, put the light down low, get the word out, and meditate on Romans 6, Romans
7 and Romans 8. And spend that time with the Lord, because the Lord, oh my goodness, the Lord loves when we take out time just for him. I know for me personally, I've been so bad with my prayer life, Lord. Forgive me, Jesus. I mean, I remember back in the day, I was just hours and prayer would be like nothing. Now it's something, if I get in 30 minutes, I'm like, Jesus, and this is on a daily basis. You definitely want to pray daily. But I know, I remember someone shared with me, it's not the quantity of the time that you spend with the Lord, it's the quality. So you want to put that quality time in with the Lord and pray. But I know for me personally, on my birthday every year for the last maybe 5 or 6 years, maybe 7 years, I would go to a park, because I'm a fall baby. My birthday is October 1st, so I would go to a park, or I would go, you know, where there's a body of water, and I would just meditate and pray by the water. And I kid you not, it has come to a point where on my birthday, whenever I show up to pray with God, he gives me pages and pages of notes about my life, about my future, about the upcoming new year, since, you know, October is kind of close to the end of the year, almost as if God himself looks forward to my birthday, because he knows that it's going to be the time where we're going to have that extra time, and he's going to have an opportunity to really pour out to me. And that's how it feels. So God is so faithful. I'm going to encourage you. Love God. You know, take the time out. Even tomorrow, if you don't have any significant other, know that you do have a significant other, and his name is Jesus. So for the next section is love yourself. Now, I'm not talking about this new age stuff where we just, you know, believing that we're our own gods and we don't need anybody. No. When I say love yourself, it's basically talking about embracing the you that God made you to be. Because a lot of times when, especially around the holidays, Valentine's, Christmas, you know, if you don't have a significant other, we get caught up in what's wrong with me, why don't I have a boo, maybe I should talk to my ex, maybe I should get with this person. We settle because we forget who we are, because we're so caught up in the moment of what we feel we don't have. So that's why I say love yourself. Love yourself enough not to settle, you know. We settle for Mr. Feelgood instead of waiting on Mr. Right. So I just want to encourage you to love yourself. Know that God has a plan. He has a plan for you. He has a purpose and a destiny with your name on it. He knows the very hairs on your head are numbered by God. He knows every single one. Speaking of which, I was in the mirror the other day, y'all, and I saw a gray hair. I was like, ooh, Jesus, what is this? Time waits for no man, I guess. But, yeah, you definitely want to love yourself. And, you know, I think a lot of times we forget, even with that scripture, you know how the scripture says, because somebody had mentioned to me, they were like, well, your theme for the pre-Valentine's Day week is love God, love yourself, love your future. What about loving others as yourself? And I'm thinking, and I emailed the person back, and I said, well, no, it's not based on the scripture. It's not based on that scripture. The theme is not based necessarily on that scripture. It's more so based on the main scripture for the theme is actually is about your future. The path of the just is as a bright and shining light, shining brighter and clearer to the perfect day. So I had to let that person know it's not based on that scripture. But when you think about that scripture, and it says, love others as yourself. Okay, here it is, Mark 12, 30 and 31. And that's where I was sharing about you should love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy mind, all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And then the second, verse 31 of Mark 12, it says, the second is like this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is none other commandment than greater than these. And a lot of times we put the focus on, like the person that emailed me, they were like, what about others? And that's fine. The main reason I didn't include others is because because a lot of times Valentine's Day you may not have a significant other. I mean, there are others in the form of family, friends, you know, things like that. But people miss the part that says love your neighbor or love others as yourself. You can't even love other people the way they deserve to be loved if you don't love yourself, because you can only love them as you love yourself. And a lot of times if you're single and if you've been single for a while, you start to look in the mirror, you start to doubt yourself. You start to wonder what's wrong. You're looking at superficial things and how you look. Now, mind you, I'm not saying that you shouldn't care about your presentation. You know, men are very visual, so you do want to be mindful of that. And the way you can know how your presentation appears to others is ask a man. Ask a brother in Christ, or if you have a brother, a physical brother, ask a man. Just say, if you are a guy, what do you think about me? You know, what are some things I could do to better my appearance, or what would you think if you saw me walking down the street? And then it takes a bold person to ask that question, but the thing is, you want to know because it is important. You know, men, sometimes they're led by the visual before they can get to the spiritual. You know, a lot of times we're like, oh, well, Lord, I want him to fall in love with my spirit. But men don't see your spirit. They feel your spirit, but first their eyes see you. So you definitely want to work on that. But the thing is, though, you don't want to work on that just for a man. You want to work on that. Why? Because you love yourself enough. You love yourself enough to take care of yourself and pamper yourself because you love yourself. And again, your love for others flows out of your love for yourself and your love for God. Love God, love yourself. So, but I just don't want you to be discouraged thinking, you know, it's something wrong with me. Now, this is not to say that you're not open to someone in your life. You know, I always say it's important to have accountability partners. One or two people or maybe three people that are super, super close to you, that know you better than anyone else, whether it's a minister or pastor or a close friend, and they have permission to speak the truth in love to you and over you. So if you have one of those people speaking to you and telling you, yeah, you got attitude or you are pessimistic, you do need to change that, receive that advice and make the adjustment and change. But if it's nothing like that and it's just a matter of, you know, you just haven't met them yet and you're just really not sure, then don't blame yourself and get down in the dump thinking it's you. Love yourself. Embrace yourself. I don't know if you guys remember Kenny Pugh. I've had him on several times on the Blog Talk Radio show on this show, and he often says the main thing that attracts him to a woman, and he's now married now. Congratulations, I'm happy for him. Yay, Kenny. I don't know if he's listening to this, but he recently got married. I think it was, was it November? Either it was a couple months ago. A couple months ago, he's happily married, and I'm excited for him. I remember he used to say that the main thing that would attract him to a certain woman is not that she looks like Halle Berry or is, you know, super fine. It's her confidence. Confidence comes from within, and confidence comes from having a healthy self-image. So if you have a healthy self-image, you can love yourself. I'm going to share something personal about me. I didn't have a healthy self-image until I was about 30. I'm 37 years old. So for 30 years, I felt less than. I had poor self-esteem. I didn't feel pretty because all of my friends, it seems like they were all chosen over me, and I felt invisible a lot. It was only until I got to be 30 years old that I really started to love myself and see the beauty that God gave me and look at certain things. You know, the things that man considers to be weird or different are things that God calls unique. It's like his signature on you, whether you have freckles or different color hair, different color eyes or moles in certain places, birthmarks. those are all God's signature on you. And embrace whatever that is. And then there's a thing I heard a minister say. She said, upplay your assets and downplay your liabilities. So whatever you feel, if you have beautiful eyes, accentuate those eyes, you know, bring them out more. You know, you feel good, and you'll start to have more confidence, and you'll start to love yourself. And then not only that, so once you love yourself, like I said, you can love others out of how you love yourself. And you know what else? When you love yourself, you are free to be happy for other people. When they get married, when they get in a relationship, there's no envy or jealousy when you love yourself, because in your mind, there's no competition. You're not competing, especially as Christians. We're brothers and sisters, so it's kind of like, imagine a family. Like, look at your biological family. If something happens with your brother or sister in biological family, you're happy for them, hopefully. You know, and so in the same manner, be happy for your brother and sister in Christ when they get engaged. You know, I thank God. Most of my friends are married, and I am so excited. I mean, at first I was a little sad because I'm like, man, you know, you kind of feel like you lose someone, you know. Kind of feels like I was just looking through some old pictures with one of my friends. She's been married like 10 years, and I was starting to get sad. Like, man, we used to really hang. That was my buddy. And, you know, they have families now, and they have careers, so you give that over to the Lord. But one thing I never felt jealous. I mean, that is just, to me, that is crazy. Because you want to be happy for your sister. I love my brothers and sisters in Christ that are married, engaged, and you want to be free to love them because, again, that flows out of you already being able to love yourself. And the one thing I love about the fact that most of my friends are married is the fact that at any time I can join proven wisdom. Come on now. Proven wisdom from them because they are married. They've been through different things. All of them are happily married. No crazy drama where people have walked out, none of them divorced, so thank God. And I can go to them if I have questions, even about a person I'm dating. I can go to them because they know. They have firsthand information about what works and what doesn't in relationships, especially when you're talking about marriage. So you look at it as a positive. You know, you look at it as something that you can glean from. And, you know, things like that. So when you love yourself again, it frees you to be able to be happy for others, you know. And then if it gets to a point where I know on Facebook and all the Twitter and things like that, and you're hearing about weddings and marriages, and you could get down in the dumps. I'm not going to lie and say you may never be sad because it seems like everybody's getting married and having 3 or 4 kids. And you're kind of like, okay, what about me, Lord? Hello. But if it gets to a point where it gets heavy just from your even scrolling through a news feed, then it's okay to take a Facebook fast. You know, I know people, they said, okay, I'm going to be off Facebook for about a week because they need to regroup, you know, and they don't want to feel depressed. And then not only that, you want to find out why you're feeling depressed. And you want to turn that depression into joy, and you want to refocus and know that what God has for you is for you, and be rejoice with others who rejoice, and you want to find out why you're not able to do that at that time. So instead of continuing on the path of feeling depressed, you want to just refocus and, you know, ask God to show you why you have this feeling in the first place. Because even the David, he said in the Psalm, he's created me, Lord, a clean heart, and renew a right spirit in me. So if you're throwing shade at people that's getting married and all jealous and stuff and wondering when is it going to be my turn, just know, number one, know that it's not about you. You know, it's okay to have joy for someone else, you know. So many times we internalize everything, and this is, you know, a lot of people do this, even the younger generation coming up. It's kind of like,
we're internalizing it, thinking it's about us. You know, we watch movies, we read books, and immediately we apply it to our situation. When, you know, if you really love yourself and trust God, you're free to really focus and celebrate with the other person. So that's another reason you want to love yourself. Okay, so now with the time left, we're going to talk about loving your future. We're going to talk about loving your future. And that's what it all boils down to. Don't get so caught up in 2015, Valentine's Day, and I don't have a boo, or what's going on. No. Look to the hill from which cometh your help. And when you see God, you will see your future. You will see the promises that he made you. You will see his faithfulness. You will have faith in God, knowing that you're not single just for any reason. You're single just for a season. You will see the relationships that God delivered you from and spared you from, and you will lift up your hands and say, thank you, Lord, that I didn't go that route with him. You will have joy in the future that God has for you. So with that, I want to remind you of that scripture again. It's Proverbs 4:18. For the path of the just. Now, I'm not talking about the unrighteous. I'm not talking about somebody that's sinning every week and not repenting at all. It says the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. When you think of perfect day, you want to think of a season. So as you continue on the just path, your light will shine brighter and brighter. You will get closer to your goal. Picture yourself in a dark room, and at the end of a long hall, see a dim light. As you walk in that dark room, as you continue on that straight path, the light will get a little brighter and a little brighter and a little brighter. And as you get closer, it really gets bright. So your destination is that bright light to that perfect day or that perfect season. And that's the season of all the manifested promises that God has for you. But the important thing is you stay on that path, because it's when we get off that path, we get in our own mind, we get with the ex-boyfriend, we accept the phone number from the dude at the gas station that says he somewhat believes in God, but not sure. We do evangelistic type dating where we're trying to convert people that aren't saved, and we're going out with them and getting all wrapped up in them emotionally, knowing good and well that they don't believe in our God, but yet still, we still feel like, well, Lord, you using me to minister to him, and I know he's going to get converted. So then we end up in situations where we may have had sex outside of the will of God, may have gotten pregnant, and thank God for the grace of God. I always say the child is never a curse. The child is always a blessing. In the case of single parents, always a blessing. All it does is delay destiny when we get off the path and we go through detours and we go to the left when we're supposed to be going straight. So just continue to stay on the path that God has for you to that shining light. And the shining light is the destiny. For the shining light is the perfect will of God. It's the perfect will of God in your life, in your career, in your home, in your marriage, in your family. There's restoration where you've been hurt, where you've been abused. There's restoration. There's all of that. You just have to continue on that path. So don't get stuck in today. Today is not a destination. Today is just a season. So remember that. That's why we can rejoice for others to rejoice, because they have shifted seasons. And it's not to say that this season is to be a hated season. We shouldn't just hate this season because, oh, I'm single and it's Valentine's Day. No. Paul said,
in Philippians 4:11 that he learned above all things. He learned how to be content no matter what. No matter what season, no matter what period. It's a learning process, but you have to be content. You have to be content with loving yourself, loving God, loving others, yes, and then positioning yourself in the Lord to receive. Trusting God and having faith. Not saying marriage is the destination. That's another thing. We get so caught up, oh, I'm single, and I just, if only I was married, and all my problems would just be gone. No. Marriage is not the end-all, be-all. Marriage is not a destination. It's just a shift in a season. It's a shift in a priority. It's a shift in a focus. Because while we're single, our focus is on pleasing the Lord. When you shift seasons and you become married, your focus becomes pleasing your spouse. So it's a shift in a season. So we shouldn't covet a new season. We should learn how to embrace and love the current season we're in. So that's all I have for today. And like I said, I did want to open it up. I see some callers here. If anyone has comments or questions or a prayer request, in the last minute here of this call, I'm unmuting everyone. So if you could state your name, in the city or state, I'm sorry, in the city you're calling from, city or state you're calling from, this is your opportunity to share a comment or question or a prayer request. So, anybody? Now we got somebody out and about.
Hello.
Hey. Yeah,
hey,
you're live.
I was on mute. Like, can she not hear me?
First of all, I didn't know.
I was on mute.
Oh, no,
my phone was
okay.
On mute. Yeah. I'm sorry about that.
Did you have a comment or a question or a prayer request? I actually opened up the line for anyone who has a comment or question or prayer request.
Okay. First of all, this is Daniel from Arkansas. I enjoyed the lesson. I'm not single. I've been married almost 4 years.
Praise God.
You're right.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And, you know, I read a whole book about relationships. I had some booger bears before I met my wife. And it would make you laugh, make you cry, make you shake your head. It was just crazy. Before I got married, I stayed single. Plus, I didn't date anybody.
Okay.
Would you like that? I stayed single. I didn't date any female. Because we live in a day and time where people have lost their mind about, well, I don't know who I am sexually. You better find out in God who you are sexually.
And
I didn't date for 6 straight years. Because I'm like, I had to be free of the nonsense, of the mind games. I said, God, take these years and you use them to your glory. And the year after that, I met my wife through a radio station. I used to have a radio show all brought to myself. She called.
Okay.
And we've been talking for about a year and a half. She came to Arkansas from California to go to school. Not for me, but go to school. The rest is history. And we're moving, to Virginia next month. And she's a good woman. She's educated. She's smart. She's funny. She's a good person to be around. But you know what?
Now,
a lot of folks, I've done it myself, we look at the outside appearance.
Yes.
Get us in trouble big time. Fellas, y'all hear me? I've been there, single brothers. I have looked at the outside appearance. And all that, I was like, man, I need to get with that. Not knowing she was an airhead. I mean, that's just being nice and real. I mean, she was just crazy.
Yeah, definitely.
If you have a body and a mind to match, oh my God, we can do wonders together. Because she can be better on the outside, have a my old friend of mine said, you can be pretty on the outside and ugly on the inside, you're going to be pretty ugly. So,
I like that. You on the outside, ugly on the inside,
you're
pretty ugly.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. I mean, you don't have to be the bombshell or the world's genius, but just have a nice personality, because the personality of a person is the finest thing on an individual. I mean, just drop there. Fine. Howdy. Oh, man, she's fine. Oh, man, he's fine for ladies. It's just crazy. And, you want to go to a dealership and have a car and say, hey, I need a car. And they would say, what kind of car you want? Oh, man, just give me any old kind of car. They would give you the thing on the lot. And top one here, run. When you go to God and say, God, I want a man. I want a woman. He's going to ask you what you want in that person.
Come on, be
picky about it. I was picky. I didn't want this. But I want this. I want that. And guess what? God answered my prayers.
Amen.
Are we perfect? No. I'm a professional perfect. We have our issues like everybody else. But when you find somebody who you want to do the rest of your life, opposite sex, God said Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. Okay.
Yeah, amen.
Back in the days, but ain't nothing to be lying about it. And let me try I'm trying to be gay. No, you ain't trying to be gay. That's a sin. That's a sin before God. God burned down not one but two cities for that sin by itself. So get together, ask God to help you get through that nonsense, and He can change you. You know. People say, I'm born this way. You a lie. God didn't make you that way. That was your choice to be like that. But God is an awesome God. I don't want to be preachy. I don't want to get no sermon right now. I'm just saying what the truth is. Because I've seen it. I'll be 44 in May, God willing. So, been there, done that. You know, like Cube, my boy Cube said, you better check yourself. And say, hey, God, I need your help.
I really appreciate that. Thank you for sharing your testimony and some encouragement, to the listeners. So I appreciate that. Amen. All right. Well, God is good, and that was a blessing. So I pray that you guys were blessed by what you heard today. And I was definitely blessed by his testimony. And it just let us all know what's really important. I mean, we can do all kinds of things to beautify ourselves on the outside. But the most important thing, I mean, the outer beauty may attract them, but it sounds like that inner beauty will keep them. So God is faithful, and I pray you were blessed tonight. Feel free to share this call with your single friends and loved ones, even on tomorrow. Make that a Valentine's Day gift for them to receive that encouragement. Even in the hustle and bustle of the day, you might get to the evening, and then the enemy has a tendency to speak to singles' mind and say, you ain't got nothing going on, ain't got no date. Well, if that, before that even happens, we can actually offset that by sending them something like a message like this. Sending them the message, sharing it with them, letting others know so they can be encouraged in this season. Because like I said, it's only a season, but it's a great season. So thank you for listening. Again, this is Kim Brooks. I'm a national best-selling author to the glory of God. I'm also a licensed minister, and I'm the author of the novel She That Findeth. It's a spin on He That Findeth a Wife. And I'm the author of self-help book How to Date and Stay Saved. And then my initial best-selling novel was He's Fine, But Is He Saved? All of them are available either on Amazon. Also, check out my website, KimOnTheWeb.com, filled with tons of articles and blogs. And sign up to get my free newsletter and free daily devotional for women, newsletter for all. Sign up to get that so we can stay connected during this season. So I thank you so much for listening. And you just have a blessed and wonderful day. God bless you. Bye-bye.